Hello, and welcome to this University of Utah Magazine podcast production. I'm Andrea Smartin, and today we're attempting to answer a question raised in an article I wrote for the magazine. Do political debates change voters' minds? What better way to settle the question than a debate? Brought to you by the U's own John R. Park Debate Society.
Welcome from the John R. Park Debate Society. I am an assistant coach for the Debate Society, Frank Gigray, and today we will be discussing the topic with two of our debaters, do political debates change voters' minds? Our first debater speaking in affirmation of the question is Leo Docterman, who is a third-year member of the JRP and a junior in finance. The debater that will be speaking in negation is Grace Osuski, who is a third-year member of the JRP and a junior in anthropology and communication studies. Without further ado, I'll leave the floor to Leo Docterman, who will have a couple of affirmative remarks.
Hello, everybody. When we talk about the question, do political debates change voters' minds? There is strong reasoning and evidence that in many instances, debates can be the biggest factor in formulating a voting decision. When we think about all the forums that people might get political information from, whether it be the media, political ads, social media, all of these spaces tend to be incredibly partisan, often polarized, and refusing to engage in alternative points of view. Political debates tend to be one of the few forums that most Americans will engage with, where both sides get roughly an equal amount of time to speak their minds. And while my opponent will likely tell you that the number of people who will actually have their vote changed is quite small, I tend to disagree. And I think Hillary Clinton, Al Gore, John McCain, and Mitt Romney would also tend to disagree, because in each of our past elections, our nation has seen it was not decided by the staunch Democrats or Republicans, but the moderate swing voters that make up a substantial portion of the U.S. population. This is why the Kaiser Family Foundation, in collaboration with the Cook Political Report, a leading political data research group, concluded in 2019 that 30% of Americans represent swing voters. What is a swing voter? Someone who either has no idea who they are going to vote for or has a weak alignment with certain candidates that can be changed. This is why swing states typically decide elections. With this understanding that a large portion of the American public might be open to having their mind made or changed, this debate becomes substantially easier for me to win. If so many people are undecided, what makes up their minds? Political debates. And I'm going to prove this to you in two steps. I will first prove the value of the debate forum, and then I will prove that it has a statistical effect on voters. First, logically, we can expect that any divisive forum for debate will contain debaters who want to convince judges in a certain way. In this case, the judges are the populace who will determine the winner with their vote. And while I admit that there are many other significant forums for making up people's minds, such as political ads, political debates remain the biggest decider you see. People hate political ads, they hate media bombardment, and they hate their friends harassing them into certain political viewpoints. This is why the Annenberg Public Policy Center conducted a poll that showed that presidential debates are Americans' favorite way to gain election information, outranking all others by a significant margin. Debates are an untethered, improximal clash in which each candidate must defend their ideology against the unexpected. And I say that there is extreme value in this, because in no other place can voters more directly see the clash of two ideologies. Debates serve the populace. They aim to present information in such a way that is understandable, digestible, and convincing, not only to the political science majors of the world, but also the average American determining which politician will be better for them. And this applies even more so in primaries, where less popular candidates such as Yang or Buttigieg, most recently, can get their name out and sway voters in a massive way. The fact that no-name candidates can gain traction after debates suggests that these debates have a profound effect on voters. In the end, political debates are often the most clear-cut way for candidates to provide an explanation for their platform and defend them. And that is what swing voters want to hear. Structured, defensible solution, and no other forum provides a better way to test these ideas. The direct clash forces a clear defense of certain perspectives. And perhaps even more importantly, this forum tests a candidate's character, quickness on their feet, and ethos. Al Gore's consistent sighing and attacks on Bush alienated voters who might have voted for him. This is why his loss is often attributed to his debate performance. In addition, Ross Perot, an independent, garnered an unthinkable 20% of the popular vote due to his excellent debate performance that challenged the basic conception of Democrat versus Republican. In addition, there is quite a bit of statistical evidence to back this up. So secondarily, a University of Missouri communication professor Mitchell McKinney and Benjamin Warner conducted a study to answer our question. An astounding 60% of surveyed individuals experienced a shift in candidate choice after listening to a debate. While I'm sure my opponent will have statistics, I will tell you that my study is preferential as it is most modern and most proximal to the question of our debate, not just looking at general polls, but polling individuals on the specific question of how they reacted to debate. My study is the gold standard of debate polling. In addition, a 1998 study on primary debates found that a substantial portion of voters experienced a change in mindset after these debates. I think that these two examples of studies that show how people react to debates will overall prove my point that individuals can have their minds changed.
Thank you, everybody, for being here today. I stand in the firmest negation on the question of whether or not do political debates change voters' minds. First, I'm going to be presenting my case, and then I'm going to be going over some arguments that Leo made in his. So the first contention that I have today is winners lose. The problem with political debates that are meant to influence voters is that they only happen once. We get some media coverage, and then that debate is history. Look at the many months of Democratic primary debates. The issues covered in those debates were important. Aside from a lack of direct answer to questions, there was also a lack of diversity in the long run on who voters supported. Look at who's literally going to be the DNC nominee, Biden, and how voters rallied around the big names like Sanders and Warren. Specifically, let's look at Warren here. Warren was cited as winning most of the debates. Even though she had good responses, which were recognized by the media, voters weren't swayed to support her all the way to the Oval Office. The debates didn't change the outcome of the vote. Biden struggled in some of the debates with his responses, and he definitely wasn't the best debater on the stage. Voters weren't swayed throughout multiple debates, and Biden still walks away as the nominee. In an interview with the Niskin Center, Ethan Porter, the assistant professor of media and public affairs at George Washington University, said, "Even though the public attaches great importance to debates and millions, 70 million people watch them, it's not clear that the debates actually change anybody's mind. So maybe debates matter because they're fun to watch. Maybe debates matter because they're informative. But on this basic question, which is do debates actually affect who people vote for, there's very little evidence that debates do just that. And there's good reason to believe, given the mounds of research on small media effects, that any single debate and any single post-debate coverage isn't likely to affect most voters' attitudes. Even if people change their minds, like the impact of the debates, these changes are temporary, as observed right now. Two, debates don't change the polls. That's the important part. The Stanford School of Business investigated the impact polls have on voters. One of the main results of the study found that the researchers asked a select group of voters to state their opinions on a variety of real public policy questions and then presented them with fabricated poll results on the same topics. When the test subjects learned that a large group of experts favored a position, opinions shifted by 11.3%. But the opinions of people like me changed opinions by just 6.2%, while a general poll saying that a majority of people favored one side or the other moved the needle by 8.1%. People changed their minds to fit what has mass support. With the presidential race in the home stretch, there's little doubt that the unending barrage of polling data influences voters, but the conventional wisdom that they mindlessly follow the herd misses a critical point. Voters also look at polling results as a way to garner information that they need to make up their minds. A new working paper by Neil Malhorda of Stanford's Graduate School of Business and David Rothschild of Microsoft Research shows that some voters do in fact switch sides in an effort to feel accepted and to be part of a winning team, but not necessarily because of a debate. But the paper also concludes that the greater number of voters are searching for the wisdom of crowds when they evaluate poll results, and that the opinion of experts matters more to them than that of their peers. But don't worry, the studies don't lie. Debates are temporary and quick-lived. A study by political scientists Robert Erickson and Christopher Wisen, which includes every publicly available poll from the presidential elections between 1952 and 2008, come to a similar conclusion. Excluding the 1976 election, which saw Carter's lead drop steadily throughout the fall, the best prediction from the debates is the initial verdict before the debates. In other words, in the average election year, you can accurately predict where the race will stand after the debates by knowing the state of the race before the debates. Erickson and Wisen conclude that the evidence of debate effects is fragile. Even in the closest races, the study concluded that in 1960, for example, the debates only changed support levels by 2 or 3 points, which is well in the margin of error of 4%, and the study writers even admitted wasn't concrete, that even in the closest races, there was no change after a debate. On to Leo's case. So first, he brings up a point about swing voters and how they're the ones who usually decide who wins the election. So swing voters, about 75% of them, what we consider independents, actually lean towards a party, indicating that they already have a weak partisan bias towards one side, meaning that a debate likely isn't going to change anything because they already have a specific affiliation with a party that they prefer. Moving on down further, he says that it's a way for minor candidates to gain attraction from voters. However, there's something called name loyalty in politics, and that's why we don't see Yang or Castro or Rourke out there being the nominee right now. But moreover, as you can see, the study that he brought up, he says is preferential. I'm just going to say, I think 1952 to 2008 is far greater time than 12 years, which once again indicated that there's literally no impact that debates have. You can predict who wins before.
At the end of this debate, my logic stands. In a world where a substantial portion of the American public is willing to change their viewpoint, and the forum for doing so is most usually political debates, which are by far the most popular way to garner political information, it follows that these debates have the ability to change minds. And my statistics back this up. I'm now going to go through all of my opponent's points and respond. First of all, on the question of Elizabeth Warren, I think my opponent vastly mischaracterizes Warren. Pundits claim she won, but the American public clearly disagrees. She was often slammed for lacking pragmatic and structured platform plans and generally relied on ideals. This sunk both her and Sanders. But I will state, in her debate where she roasted Bloomberg, she gained massive popularity, proving debates can change minds, even if it doesn't result in votes to win elections. And I think that's a general problem in my opponent's speech, is it miscorrelates changes in polls to changes in minds. Now, I'm going to go on to the question of whether debates do change polls or not. So, firstly, the Stanford study, I would say that the first part of my opponent's speech does not necessarily apply because it proves that debates cannot be a linkage to form these broader public opinions. And in fact, I think that this evidence proves my point. Debates play to the populace and often are convincing as such. But I also think this study has a major flaw because if it is true that people turn towards the experts and majority, then how the heck did Trump win? More and more people turn away from the mainstream and attempt to form their own views. This same conception disproves my opponent's second piece of evidence, which talks about how the people want to be on the winning team, and they base that off of polls. But under that definition, Trump would have never won because every single poll had him losing by a significant margin, yet he still won. Next, I'm going to talk about the Erickson evidence. I think this citation is severely challenged by my UM evidence and the empirical evidence I also provide. Firstly, primaries disprove this because debates definitely matter, and vast swings in popularity mostly occur after debates. That's why Kamala Harris and Biden prove this. In fact, I would say that after debates, it was statistically proven that both of them gained significant popularity, suggesting that pundits might not have attributed the win to them, but voters did. Secondly, my evidence is better. The UM evidence explains that whether or not political change occurs, minds do change. The Erickson evidence falsely correlates the lack of change in general polls to lack of changing minds. General election polls are often incorrect and can't account for internalized mind changes, which the UM evidence has most specifically seeked out, and I would say that it is the best evidence in the context of our resolution because it is most proximal to that question. Now, I want to answer this idea about swing voters not necessarily representing a voting population. My evidence states that 30% of Americans have, at any given point, not assuredly made up their mind on who to vote for. The problem with my opponent's evidence is 2016 is a terrible example because most folks in the middle hated Hillary just as much as they hated Trump, thus often not even voting. But this population can get more invested in general elections because they base their choices based on popular candidates, and I think that the 2016 election didn't necessarily represent that. I think that their evidence also misses a big point because swing states can all look incredibly different given any different election year because different populations are mobilized based on certain situations. I think my Annenberg citation shows that people will get mobilized because of political debates. It simply depends on who is running. I think that on the broader scale, I will win this question. This debate comes down to a simple idea. Do you think A, Americans can shift their views? And B, do you think political debates are the forum for this to happen? In all instances, my evidence proves that this is true, and I am proud to say that political debates do, in fact, change minds.
So first, I'm going to kind of address some of the things Leo just said before defending my own case. First, let's talk about this argument on swing voters in Leo's case. Once again, as I stated in my first speech, 75% of independents already lean towards the party. So even if that's not the argument that you're really looking at here, it still proves that even the people that my opponent is building a lot of his case on still have some party affiliation, indicating that a political debate isn't going to change their minds if they're already a weak partisan. It means that they have some party affiliation and they're not likely to change all of their sets of morals, jump ship, and vote for an entirely different party because of one debate. That actually leads me into another argument that I don't feel like my opponent really addressed in response. It was in my own case, but also I'll mention it here. The fact that debates are temporary and they're very quick-lived. Even if you believe everything that he's saying about there's no correlation between polls and voting, the debates still only provide a temporary look at what our candidates can do. That's why candidates like Yang, Castro, even Warren, even Kamala Harris aren't the DNC nominee right now. Debates are temporary. They don't have any lasting impacts to where we see a drastic shift in voters' minds. But moreover, moving on down his case, once again, he tries to use his studies and tries to point out fallacies in my cases. However, we can clearly see that literally one of the studies looked at elections between 1952 and 2008, stating that at best, the link between political debates and changing people's minds was fragile. At best, over 50 years of elections, and we've seen absolutely very, very little link between political debates actually changing individuals' minds. So first he tries to attack my Warren example by stating that pundits claim to have won, but the American population disagrees. That's not the point here. The point here is there's something called name loyalty, brand loyalty in a different context, but name loyalty here. People were like Biden definitely didn't win the debates. Whether or not Kamala and Biden both rose in the polls because they were roasting each other the entire debate doesn't matter at this point. Biden was still the DNC nominee, even if the general consensus was that he didn't win the debates. Biden had a lot of gaffes in the debate that were recognized by both the general population as well as media pundits, indicating that people aren't really going to change their minds. They're going to vote for somebody that they recognize, and that's about it. Debates don't change that. But moreover, we can clearly see that when he's talking about how the primaries disprove my case on name loyalty, we can clearly see that this, number one, proves polls matters if he's relying on Kamala and Biden increasing their numbers after debates. And two, we can clearly see that polls are really what matter in the long run because people are persuaded by the mass support and they want to be on the winning team. Politics is a game and people don't like to be on the losing side. But moreover, I think that this debate comes down to if political debates don't change voters' minds, what does? And I think that I've clearly showed you with multiple studies, multiple sources, that it's clearly the polls because it either incentivizes people to vote for someone who they think can win or who they think best stands a chance at winning in their party. It's not political debates that change people's minds, it's the polls. Political scientists agree with me. I think I've done enough to show you why.
There you have it. Thanks for listening to this debate from the John R. Park Debate Society and University of Utah Magazine.